Welcome to the Polymer Science Podcast. I am Dr. Alicia Bulatis.
And I'm Jacob Shackman.
In this podcast, we'll be speaking to researchers from around the world and talk to them about how their work is improving our daily lives. I hope you enjoy our conversation and that you learn something new. Hello everyone, today we are speaking to Joe Mwakoremba. He is working with OceanSol on a very magnificent project where they are upscaling flip-flops. OceanSol Sculptures is part of a project to upcycle and repurpose old and trashed foam flip-flops. The artists in Nairobi, Kenya then create the most beautiful, colorful and unique looking objects and sculptures using only the materials upcycled from these flip-flops. 1 ton of flip-flops get delivered a week, aka 3,000 flip-flops, and there is a payment to the workers that bring in these slippers. About 25 pairs of flip-flops equals a minimum daily wage. Trashed flip-flops, or also known as slippers, are also not just from Kenya. Unfortunately, the beaches flush out trashed flip-flops from other places like the Philippines and India. This upcycling project has cleared 10 million flip-flops from beaches, and more than 450,000 of these slippers are processed and changed into OceanSol masterpieces. About 249 people now have stable work and income thanks to this innovative and brilliant idea of utilizing discarded and broken footwear into something amazing. I have spoken to Joe about more of the detail on this project and some of the interesting things that came up you wouldn't believe. I hope you enjoyed this conversation and please let me know what you think in the comments. As always, we appreciate you listening and supporting this podcast. So welcome to the Polymer Science Podcast, Joe Mwakoremba. It is so awesome to have you on. We have some really interesting topics to talk about regarding the work that you do for OceanSol, and particularly the work that you're doing with flip-flops. Thank you for giving me your time. And on a Saturday as well, can you please introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us a bit more about yourself before we start?
Hey, Alicia, thank you for having me on your podcast. My name is Joe Mwakoremba. I am the head of sales here at OceanSol. So like Alicia said, we recycle flip-flops.
Yeah, that's amazing. I firstly need to know, how did you start getting involved with this company and this type of projects? Like, what brought you on and made you so enthusiastic about just, you know, the environment and all that?
So let me go a little bit back. I lived in Florida, US, for 13 years and worked for JP Morgan Chase before I relocated back to Nairobi, Kenya in 2009. And back when I did that, I was looking for a job. And while doing that, the hiring agency thought that I would be a perfect fit for a sales job at this flip-flop recycling company, which I had never heard about. So I interviewed, and I still did not know what they were doing because I thought maybe they're melting the flip-flops and then, you know, making something out of it. So when I had the first workshop tour, I was amazed. They were actually collecting discarded flip-flops from beach cleans, landfills, and then bringing them to this workshop, paying the collectors, and joining them and making this amazing creation. This was totally, it was mind-blowing for me.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, so that was 2014. That's when I started working for them. And this year, September, will be 10 years.
Wow. It's when I initially saw this project and just the whole movement that you are part of on LinkedIn, and I was, I must say, like, I had to double-check or just, like, you know, I scrolled past and I was like, no, wait, what? Flip-flop? Are you kidding me? Yeah. You would never think that is such a big problem or such a large part of the waste system. But it totally makes sense because it is a very cheap footwear, and because it's cheap, it breaks easily. So it gets replaced quite often, which leads to this massive built-up in discarded flip-flops, which then is perfectly good in terms of plastic and, you know, but there's no seemingly good use for it in apart from just, you know, drifting around in the ocean or, you know, just it's incredible.
So just the person or the people or the community that actually saw the potential in that is that's fantastic. I hats
Yeah.
off to them. It's incredible. It's such an uplifting project as well because it seems like it is creating a lot of job opportunities as well. And then also, just the whole making people's lives brighter by having a multicolored, massive, giant giraffe in their, business in, walk-in or their home environment. So it's pretty awesome. But we'll
It's
get
just
more
amazing.
into like the actual, creations that comes from these flip-flops. But can you please tell me a bit more about, just how many discarded flip-flops are currently, if you have like any statistics or data, how many flip-flops are you working with on a day-to-day?
Good question. So right now, as we speak, we're recycling about a ton a week. So that in itself is just it's amazing. And many people ask, why so many flip-flops? How is it? So in most of the developing nations, when I say developing nations, not only just Kenya, I'm talking about Brazil, Indonesia, India. It's a common problem. It's a very cheap shoe. It costs like $1. And the problem with them is they break so easily. And so in a short span of time, it's broken and you toss it away. And instead of repairing it, because it's so costly, you end up buying a new pair. And in these countries, what happens is there is no proper disposal mechanism. So it ends up in a landfill, waterway, or eventually in the ocean. And Ocean Salt is just doing its bit, recycling one flip-flop at a time. So that is how the problem has come up. And we're trying to, fix it
Wow.
the best way we know how.
Do you know what was like the main components? I know you started like working with them in 2014, so obviously this maybe had it started ahead of that. But what was the main components to make this project so successful? Like how many people needed to be in which fields needed to be appointed to work together to make this project like a unison and at the very end have it snowball like this?
So let me start from the beginning. Back when in 2005, our founder, who no longer runs the organization because she has since sold it to an American lady called Erin Smith, who's the CEO. But back then, the founder was, she's a sea lover, ocean lover. She was doing some research at the coast of Kenya and saw kids making toys out of flip-flops. So she had an epiphany. She
Wow.
thought maybe she could make sculptures out of them. So her biggest break happened when WWF asked her to make 20,000 keychains out of flip-flops. So from then she had the seed money to set up shop here in Nairobi, and the rest is history.
That's so cool.
it's just amazing. So to get started, and maybe you're gonna ask these questions later on. How it worked. So back then, Kenya had scaled back on logging. So
Oh, yeah.
a lot of wood that is rendered that jobless. So what Ocean Salt pretty much did is just take that talent and showed them how to carve using a much easier material, which is flip-flops. And
Right.
this is just kind of like embeds gels into our core mission, because we our two missions is basically employing artists and also getting our environment and oceans clean.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so just from like viewing children making their own toys and then also like the issue with the logging that has been cut back on and then and it's actually like you said, it leads to the next question, like these materials that the sculptures are using, they're used to working with wood. So I'm assuming that the foam is possibly a nice, like a good change, like a very convenient change because it's much softer. There's no splinters. There's no other, problems with like harder, like more manual labor that, can injure yourself and stuff like that, and big machinery and things like this. So that's pretty
Yeah,
cool.
much easier. So they're, having a good time. I mean, other than, unless, I mean, like COVID was an act of God. I mean, I like to look at it that way.
I kind of agree with you. Yeah. A lot of good things came out of that.
Yeah, from there, I mean, before that, we had 90 artists. When COVID hit, we went down to like 15 artists because most of our buyers were shut closed during the pandemic, so they couldn't order anything from us. So, something that like a cough ball came from nowhere, and, you know, right now, as stores begin to reopen, we're seeing, you know, more orders, and we're rehiring. Right now, we are up to 60 artists, so, you know, super.
Wow. Amazing. Where do you find these artists?
So they pretty much come and apply at our workshop. And we, here in Kenya, I think mostly it works through like a referral basis. So you have a cousin or a brother or a relative that you know.
Yeah.
That knows how to carve and, you know, is looking for a job, and, you know, then they
that makes sense. And the talent and the skill probably gets passed down from generation to generation as well. Yeah. So that's awesome.
So here in Kenya, there is a community called the Kamba community, which is, they are predominantly known to be carvers. That's not to say other communities are not able to do that, but this is like their thing, you know, and so that's passed on from generation to generation.
That's pretty good. Wow. So how long does it take to make an ocean soul sculpture, from preparing the material to then sculpting, refining, any details and so on?
So once the collector has been paid and is gone, the flip-flops go through a washing process where they are washed clean with soap or detergent. Then they are placed inside a place where they get to dry and for the artist to use. And then, Ocean Soul makes two types of sculptures. We have the smaller pieces, and then we have the bigger pieces. For the smaller pieces, they are all flipped up. And what I mean by this, they are joined together into a block and carved out into that sculpture. And for the smaller pieces, you notice they have like a stripy look, because you can actually count the number of flip-flops that have been joined together to make that piece. Then you have the bigger pieces. The bigger pieces, which we'll talk about later, we use another material called polystyrene. Polystyrene comes from shipping companies. They use it as insulation. When they are broken, they toss them away. So we carve out the big pieces using this material, and then pad it with the flip-flops. And that's why you see the bigger pieces have the patchy or patchwork kind of look, while the smaller ones have the stripy look.
Okay, that's fascinating. That was actually on the video that I saw, that I also link in the show notes, which showed how, you know, each and every sculpture can be approached, and like you said, and how that affects the overall look of the sculpture, which makes it so unique and special. So just to get back to that question, so there's quite a lot of uses, as we've established, with these types of flip-flop materials, the upcycled flip-flops that you're using. But what are some of the main shapes and the applications and some of the purposes that you have thus far used it for? Are there any interesting, weird projects that you have also been, you know, part of or seen them use the flip-flops for?
Yeah, I mean, they are, like, the sculptures are our bread and butter kind of pieces that we make, because we sell them to zoos, aquariums, and the museum gift shops globally. Then we have seen corporations with huge CSR budgets that want to make a big splash, or they want to make a huge contribution towards their effort towards marine conservation. And they want to buy a life-size giraffe they want to, you know, put in their atrium, or they want to purchase a life-size elephant to put in their lobby. I know, that's so many of these. We have, for example, which we'll talk about later, a dealership in the US that wanted a life-size Honda.
Like an actual car that you can climb into.
Exactly. So we do lots of that. And another interesting one we did was Chloe, the fashion company in France.
Oh, yeah.
They collaborated with us and made this nice, amazing ladies shoe that, you know, that was super cool. So, yeah,
wow.
So the possibilities are endless. I can't even imagine this is a thing that we cannot do.
Amazing. I'm a mom of a toddler, and I can only imagine like just having like cute little bath toys, you know, because they're waterproof. They're literally drifting around in the water before you find them. So, I mean, like, there are so many applications, like you said, like it's endless.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's true.
Oh my goodness, it's just so cool. Yeah. I actually, I'll try and find everything you mentioned, like the shoe and the Honda, because that's something that needs to go in the show notes for people to see.
I know. Here's an interesting one that we did. So we were approached, this is in 2019, we were approached by the Irish Embassy here in Nairobi, and they wanted a green lion for St. Patrick's Day. A green
green.
As you can imagine, we recycle papers. I mean, we have all colors, you know. So
yes. We can't really dye it or anything.
So we were telling them, you know, yeah, we are up to it, but we don't know how long it will take us to get the green full fast. So it took us 6 months, we were able to make them a green lion. They later donated it to the Kenya Wildlife Service here in Kenya, in Nairobi, and you know, super that's amazing. There's a place special. Where you can go and actually see it. Yeah,
that's special. Wow, now that's 6 months to find green flip flop, like you know, enough to make the lion. That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, that's fascinating. I actually wanted to hear as well. Okay, so there was a question here that I have regarding just like the companies that you collaborate with. So I know that the project is represented by a company in the Netherlands. Is that correct? Or
So one of our biggest distributors is Nick & Nick. And Nick & Nick, they're based in the Netherlands. And they have been one of the best partners that we've had over the years. They started the collaboration back in 2014. And it's weird how they started it off because his brother, the owner of that company, his brother was working at the Dutch embassy in Kenya. And they came over and saw what we were doing, loved the idea, went back to the Netherlands, did a crowdfunding, crowdfunding effort to get the seed money to start the company. And right now, imagine they do like thousands of dollars in a year, and we are super amazed.
That's so cool.
The collaboration,
And then the people that actually goes and collects from the beach and in the ocean itself are they part of Ocean Soul, or are they also a separate collaborating company or group?
So we'd like to think of them as part of our ecosystem. So these people, so about 30% of our flip-flops are collected from the beach cleans, waterways, but about 70% are collected right here in the city center, in Nairobi, where, you know, they collect from rivers, waterways, landfills, and what have you. Nairobi, as you can imagine, is a city that inhabits about 5 million people. It's the biggest city in Eastern Central Africa. So lots of people, that means lots of flip-flops. So they collect them from wherever they get them from and bring them to our workshop for us to use them.
That's so cool. Okay, nice. So I know that there is a question that I saw in the comments. Some people, you know, are always concerned that the trash gets imported from other countries, you know, and things like that. But as you said, but just to clarify as well, that these flip-flops and the trash that you upcycle are all from within Kenya. It's not being imported from anywhere, etc.
No, we don't import any of our flip-flops. Just to clarify, so this meaning has been construed a bit, but what we mean is that studies have been done, and some of the flip-flops are brought about by ocean currents. So when they come to our beaches, and we can clearly know because the Kenya has about probably 4 flip-flop manufacturing companies, and we know their designs. And you can clearly see that this is not a flip-flop that has been manufactured in Kenya. So it's, you know, it's been brought about by the ocean currents and what have you.
Amazing. So they travel from very far. That's good, actually. Like you're just focusing on cleaning up the beaches in Kenya, and that's already giving you more than enough flip-flops to do what you can. So that's actually a little scary. I wonder how the beaches of South Africa is yielding flip-flops, to be honest.
I know. It's amazing. We do support other organizations that are doing similar things in all parts of the globe, and we all have to join hands and do the little we can.
But that's great, because I think like you're showcasing what can be done, and what is needed to have it be successful and to make it last and be beneficial for everyone. And I mean, that's a nice groundwork and a nice template for other countries that do not yet even see the benefits of utilizing the trash on their beaches. So that's pretty cool. I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly read through so that I don't skip any of my questions, because I have so many.
Another aspect that people usually ask, what do we do with our waste? Right? So you cut out a sculpture, and so what do you do with the shavings or the offcuts that result out of it? So a couple of years back, we partnered with World Vision, which is a nonprofit which has presence here in Kenya. And so what we do with our waste is we shred it into smaller pieces. And from there, we're making mattresses, which we donate to a refugee program in northern Kenya. So we get to recycle everything. Last year, we partnered with another organization here in Nairobi that is also collecting all of our waste and recycling it. And from there, they're making car mats. They're making like all kinds of things that you never think that, like knife handles, like things that you would never imagine.
So, wow.
Exactly. And we are so lucky that all of our waste is recycled. So that's super cool.
That is super cool, especially that about the mattresses, because that is like when you see the videos, especially, I think that will come to mind. Like there's a lot of offcuts that are happening, like, obviously you need sculpting. So, but it's good to know that even those little pieces don't just go back into a trash or something, and they're actually utilized. That's wonderful. Yeah. And like, how cool would it be? It could even replace styrofoam, which are used for, protecting packages in long transport processes. So it's brilliant. I'm so glad you guys are even thinking of that when you're doing it.
We're glad that we're able to recycle all of that as well. Yeah.
Oh, my word. This must be such a fulfilling job to be in, I must say, to be able to know you're working in an environment that you're contributing to it positively, and just like, everything you do is with a good cause. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Every now and then I speak to some of my colleagues I worked for with in at JP Morgan Chase in Florida, and they'll be like, what is it that you do again? And I'm like, I recycle flip-flops. They're like, you came from JP Morgan Chase to go do that? I'm like, yep, I did.
Yep, I think that's the main thing that when I speak to anyone on my podcast, it says their trajectory is never just straight. It's not from like beginning to end, just a straight line. It's always like, you're traveling around or, moving and uplifting yourself and then completely uprooting yourself or, going back to the bottom of the ladder and start climbing again. It's always the most worthwhile and most fulfilling stories to hear. So I'm very glad for you that it worked out this way. One more question before we end the podcast episode, because I don't want to keep you for too long, but maybe two more. But I know people are going to be like me and they're going to want to immediately buy some of the things on your website. Where can they find it? How much does it cost approximately? If they're living in places like the US and so on, how would the importation and so on be? If you have any of those informations, that would be great, because I know people will like to buy.
Yeah, I'm a sales guy, so this is the part I've been waiting for. So I know I mentioned that we make mainly sculptures, so like safari animals or marine animals, but we also make functional stuff, like yoga blocks, keychains, and what have you. So so you can find us at www.oceansoul.com. If you're in the US or in Northern America, so you're in luck. So our fulfillment center is in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. So we ship from there. So you get them, you can purchase our merchandise, and the shipping would be very, very minimal compared to shipping from Africa, for example.
That's great.
Our sculptures range anywhere from the small sculptures about probably $25, and it goes the biggest catalog. Our double XL, for example, will go for like $700 or $800. But then again, you could go big, you know, and you can do a masterpiece or a life-size sculpture, you know, and that you'd have to email us and to get a quotation.
Oh, wow. That would be so cool. I work for an electron microscope unit. I can only imagine some of my colleagues would geek out and just want like a life-size electron microscope made out of flip-flops. That would be so cool. Oh, my word.
Polymer, because you guys, this is a polymer podcast, right?
Yeah, so like yes.
Plastics, right? So we've partnered previously with an organization called Covestro. Maybe you know Covestro?
I it sounds familiar, but I'll have to look it up again just to be sure.
Yeah, they're in the plastics industry, and they have presence, I think, in Texas and also in the Netherlands. And in 2017, they commissioned a 3 meter long hippo and a 3 meter long rhino, and these are plate. These are in the office spaces in the Netherlands. So yes, so it was amazing to partner with the Fox.
Amazing. What a statement, though. Like, you know, if you're having people over for a conference or a workshop or whatever, and you're just walking in and there's just this 3 meter long massive rhino staring at you.
Like the car selling about in Huntsville, Alabama. That's the biggest piece we've ever done. That car alone is a Honda S2000. It took 2,500 flip-flops to make it. And about 4 months to do it, you know, and
holy
you know, like
moly.
That is a statement piece, you know, like
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that the parts remain stable. Like, you know, it's so well made that it doesn't fall off at like, you know, when during transport and stuff like that. That's amazing.
Exactly.
Well done to the artists and everybody that works with that, because that must have taken a whole team and, like you said, a whole bunch of time. Gee whiz.
the artist is super talented. Like I said, you know, we've been up in operation since 2006, and some of them have been with us for more than 15 years. So you can imagine the experience that they hold.
Yeah, wow. No, fascinating. Is there any last comments or anything that you would like to add before we end the episode?
I was just nice chatting with you. Nice to engage with your listeners in your podcast. Yeah, just if you think about anything that you want us to make, if we can make it, just send us an email and we'll get back to you and let you know how we can go about it.
Yeah, I mean, just like I'm thinking of a nice gift for your employer, or just like a good idea for a decoration in your office or at your home.
Most corporations partner with us to do their Christmas gifting, for example. You know, like a company has 1,000 employees and they want 1,000 small rhinos. You know, so we do lots of those collaborations. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on our podcast and chatting to us. I really appreciate it. I will post everything you mentioned, the links and so on, in the show notes, so people can go and look at that. And I wish you guys all the best and more success in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Awesome.